Thank you, Kim. Jan, thank you. Please turn your Bibles with me over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Now, I say that, if you guys are here, you don't have to do that. You can look at it up here on the screen. But the people out that are listening to the audio, they don't have the chance to do that. So, and it's good. It's good to be able to read it in your own Bible. But right now, you can kind of hang with us up here on the screen. This is called Jesus' Plan Comes Together. Originally, I was going to call this Jesus Takes a Hike. But it didn't sound right after I read it out loud. Okay, but there is a hike involved here. We have been studying the book of Luke. Actually, we are in the midst of studying the Luke-Acts sequel. Same writer, same recipient. Luke writing to Theophilus to explain why this guy named Paul is in prison in Rome awaiting trial. And we have noticed that Luke from the beginning said, I researched these things. I have carefully studied them. I've looked into them. He had some time in the Holy Land and he interviewed people. And because of that, he has some things in his gospel that Matthew and Mark don't have. And of course, John hasn't been written at this point yet. So it's fun sometimes to look at them all together and to say, hey, this is different. Well, there's a huge section today that's different in Luke. And if we didn't have Luke, we wouldn't have this section. Now, last week we got through the burial. Only took us 38 minutes. I had no idea, guys. I had no idea I preached that long. Well, thank you for saying it's okay. But, you know, we had to get to the resurrection today, so we kind of had to push on, and there were some fascinating things in Luke. And you know, you've been to some church services that went a long time. Yeah. And I remember my time in Africa where they were 3 hours long. Yeah. So I don't want it. You can't, after 20 minutes, it's hard to retain anything. So we're going to try to get through the text today to see what's different in Luke and to see if it encourages us within the time limit. If not, bear with me. Okay? All right. So in chapter 24, in verse 1, he says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, of course, the first day of the week became the first day of the week at 6:01 on Saturday night. But at 6:01, it was dark, and they couldn't have done anything, so they had to wait until it was light. So very early, when it was light enough to see, the women took the spices. Remember, we heard that the men had laid Jesus' body to rest, and they were going to go, and they were going to fix it. They were going to do it right. So they took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, which is the very definition of worship, right? You fall on your face to the ground. And these are angels. They don't like that. They know they don't deserve it. So, at any rate, but in their fright, that's what they did. He says, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Have you noticed the tense in there, okay? Past, he has risen. When we greet each other on Easter, we completely mess all the tenses up. Did you notice that? Right, risen is past tense, but we say he is risen. He is the risen one. Right. But anyway, in Greek they did a little bit better. It says, he has risen. He says, remember what he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they'd come back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. All right, there were others there besides the 11. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with whom with them that told this to the apostles. But when they did not believe the women, I'm sorry, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Ouch. How painful is that? I mean, they just ran into two angels. They remembered what Jesus said. They're convinced that Jesus isn't there. They came back with the good news to the 12, the 11, and the others, and they just refused to believe him because it didn't make any sense to them. It was nonsense. It just didn't compute. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb, stooping down, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. He went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Okay, so several times in there we get the wondering idea. Now, how do you know somebody's wondering something unless they tell you that's what they... So when you ask yourself, who did Luke have to talk to? Did he talk to Peter about this? Did he get a chance to ask Peter, hey, what happened on that morning? Now, Peter didn't tell him, or he didn't put in there that there was a foot race with John. Okay, you don't get that until the Gospel of John, because he didn't win. He didn't win the foot race. But John didn't go in. Peter went in. But he left wondering, was he convinced? No. But at least now he's wondering. At least Peter ran out there. Where'd the other ones, what did they do? Well, they hung out and talked about how that was completely nonsensical, what the women had told them. So this is the state that things are in. And you know what? This is where Mark ends. Matthew jumps to some other things right away, to the ascension and the Great Commission. But we've mentioned a lot that Luke is a Western thinker, and how important that is to you and I, because most of us here are Western thinkers. And we try to get a handle on that. It's not that easy. But we're talking about reasoning here. Nonsense. Things that make sense. Things that make you wonder. All up here. So Luke, for Theophilus' sake, decides to tell him another story. Because at this point, the women are pretty sure. The apostles aren't. They don't believe yet. Those that are close to Jesus, they're gathering with the apostles, they don't believe yet. It leaves them wondering. But Luke talked to somebody else. And this story that we're going to look at is unique to the book of Luke. So it says in verse 13, he says, now, that same day, we're still talking about Sunday, two of them, the them being those that were in the room when the women came back and said that he's risen, that thought it was nonsense, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Here's some interesting things. You know, Emmaus means hot springs. Yeah, we're not sure exactly where Emmaus is, but there is a hot springs about 7 miles. Yeah, we're not sure exactly. But the ones that we kind of landed on is about 7 miles from Jerusalem, right? So they called an Uber, and they went back because they wanted to go soak in a tub, you know, a hot spring, and talk about this. No, not here. They took a hike, 7 miles. Now, that doesn't sound like much. I mean, we have people that run half marathons. It's a lot, 7 miles. Because there's some things there that we forget here in Arizona. They're called hills. Wasn't flat, okay? It was a hike. It wasn't necessarily level and nice and paved. They were heading home. They'd been to Jerusalem for the Passover. They saw all of this stuff and they are bewildered. Can you imagine what the 7 miles felt like? Well, it would have felt that way, except they ran into somebody else. He says, they were talking to each other about everything they had that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still. They stopped, their faces downcast. One of them, Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one living in Jerusalem who doesn't know what things have happened in these last days? Okay, guys, there's some clues here, right? We got a name. Cleopas. What do we figure when we get a name? Yeah, it's probably a believer. Somebody who Luke would know to talk to. Somebody who experienced this. He was on the road. So Luke interviewed this guy. And he told him these details. This guy came up to us. We didn't know him. He said, hey, what are you guys chatting about? And why do you look so down? Because it didn't say that they looked long-faced. Right? Because they had no hope. And they're going to explain that to this stranger. It says, Jesus says, what things, he asked. He says, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet. He was a prophet. He spoke. Remember what the word prophet means? It means mouth. Somebody who speaks the words of God. He said he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. This guy was really something else. He was doing miracles. When he spoke, everybody listened. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to buy back, to redeem Israel. We had hoped. What tense is that? Past tense. Why are they long-faced? They have no hope. No hope. It's going to be a long 7 miles. With absolutely no hope. The text says, what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. I love that. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find the body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who had said he was alive. Then some of our companions went out to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Did they get any hope from what the women said? No. Did they get any hope from the empty tomb? No. Wow. We talk a lot about it. The stone being rolled away. We talk about the empty tomb. Is that what gives you hope? Is that what convinced you that Jesus is Lord? Is it because some women saw an angel? Is that what convinced you? What convinced you? What convinced you that Jesus has been raised from the dead? What part of that story? Was it because of the nice songs that you heard growing up? Was it because your parents believed? Because your grandparents believed? What convinced you that Jesus is alive. Let's see what happens to these guys. Verse 25. He, I'm talking about Jesus, said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart." Slow of heart? Hey, you had some people that saw the empty tomb. You had people that talked to angels that you know aren't going to lie. They're not lying to you, but you are slow. You're slow of heart. He said, "How foolish that you did not believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning him." Wow. How to make sense out of nonsense. What did it take? They'd heard these scriptures all of their life in the synagogues. They'd heard them. And Jesus walked through it with them one at a time. Yeah, and this is what Isaiah said. And remember what's in Jeremiah. And remember what's in Hosea. These things had to happen. And they wanted to take a recess. No, it didn't. They kept walking. Let me ask you something, though. Have you ever tried to keep talking in a 7-mile hike? Yeah. What's this tell you about the guy that is walking with him? Is he convalescing? Is he barely alive? Is it possible that he just didn't die on the cross, that he swooned? Remember, he couldn't even carry the cross himself. But here is this person that turns out to be Jesus, who hikes 7 miles, and all the while having this dialogue, explaining from memory scriptures that they heard all their life. To make something make sense that's they thought was nonsense before. Would that have any impact on you? Well, the truth is, as a Western thinker, probably a whole lot more. Probably. And maybe you've never walked through those Old Testament scriptures. Maybe you haven't looked at the text that closely. And maybe you need to. Maybe it needs to make sense to you. Luke thought Theophilus needed to hear this story. So he took the precious paper and the precious ink, and he wrote it down, and you and I have it. Let's see how this story ends. He said, as they approached the village, the one with the hot tub, the hot springs. I love hot tubs. I can't help myself. Okay. They approached the village to which they were going, and Jesus acted as if he were going further. So he didn't have an appointment at the hot springs. He wasn't going to convalesce, okay? He wasn't going to soak after a long weekend. Because the body he has now doesn't need that. Anyway, we'll get to that. He says, but they urged him strongly. He says, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening." Now, what does that mean? Was it 4? Was it 3? Was it close to, dark, 5-ish? But they wanted him to stay with them, not just to eat, but to spend the night. He said, "Stay with us. Day's almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread. That sound familiar? Gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Wow. Okay. Wow. All of a sudden, they figured it out. They see him as Jesus and the breaking of the bread. Now, there's a lot of you who the reasoning thing may not mean as much as very symbolic, almost mystical things. I mean, it's cool. Where did he go? Did he go into the bread? Yeah. We talk about Jesus saying his body. And we take the Lord's Supper every Sunday to remember the body and the blood of Jesus. Don't know. Did he disappear forever? No. He's going to show up again. Here, let's see what happens. He says, they got up and booked it back to Jerusalem. It doesn't say that. It says they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Another 7 miles. They didn't get a soak in the hot springs, but they turned around and hiked back in the dark. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon, which would be Peter. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when they broke the bread. Okay. What's it take? What's it take? Is that enough? Remember Thomas? Luke doesn't talk about him. Remember Thomas, though? We like to preface Thomas with doubting Thomas, right? Because Jesus is going to show up in this room, even though the door is locked. We don't get a chance to look at it this week, but you can read ahead if you can't make it back next week, okay? Actually, in 2 weeks, we have something different going next week, all right? This wasn't enough for Thomas. What is enough for you? What is enough? What takes you there? What gets you over the hill of doubt that says, yeah, I believe Jesus was dead and he's alive again. I believe I would like to have just a closer walk with Jesus. I would like for him to help me make sense of things that don't make sense. I look to him for answers. What is it? And maybe you haven't got there. Maybe you have and you're not sure how you got there. Praise God that you've got there, that your hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That is what it's all about to you. And that's why you come on Sunday morning. Because you want to be with other believers and you want to encourage them to keep their eyes on Jesus and their hearts on Jesus and their minds on Jesus because you believe you serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. Well, it could be the mystical thing. Maybe you had an experience or you know someone that had an experience. Or it could be a logical thing. Whatever it is the work of God that you have come to a faith, a trust. And because you're there, you don't have to take 7 miles long hikes with a long face. You may have to take it with sore feet and sore legs, but your face doesn't have to be long because you have hope. And you need to face whatever comes up tomorrow with hope because Jesus has a different body now. He is alive. Guess what? These guys get back to Jerusalem and Jesus shows up again, which means that, he can do that 7 miles no problem at all again. Or he can just show up where he wants to show up. His body's not the same anymore. And you're promised a body that's not going to be the same. It's not going to have the problem that you have right now. And I know all of us out here have some problem with our physical body. I know. And we pray for each other and try to encourage each other. But there's going to come a time when Jesus comes back and we get to be like him. And because of that, we have hope. Hope. And in that hope, we celebrate. We remember with a very simple meal that Jesus taught us, where he broke the bread and he blessed it and he said, this is my body. And a little bit of juice that represents his blood, his life. So this is the blood of the new agreement, the new covenant. Before we repeat those words again and take the Lord's Supper, we're going to ask the music team to come and lead us in another song to prepare us for the Lord's Supper.